Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. So excited that you're here this week. So as you listen to the show, first of all, if you don't feel my passion, I there's something wrong, because I think my passion comes through loud and clear. I am passionate about helping you enlighten your change, whatever change you're going through. And I know change can be sometimes panic stricken for us, whether we choose it or it's thrust upon us. So to help you navigate change and communicate a little more effectively, I think that creates a little ease and grace in our life. In the show notes, you'll see my communication style assessment. It's my gift to you, and you will get two reports. You've heard it before. It's worth repeating. You will get a report spotlighting your natural communication superpowers and how people perceive you. Flip side, you'll also receive your lowest score, which is typically a blind spot in how we communicate. So again, that link is in the show notes. I truly hope you take it, read it, and then, of course, use it. Information's beautiful. Activating that information into action, magic starts happening. Now, my motivational quote today is by Aristotle. And Aristotle says, pleasure in the job puts perfection in the work. Now, using this quote as a springboard for my discussion today with my guest, and I want to follow up with some statistics. I think they're going to blow your mind. Again, my guest shared this with me. It's very relevant and worth sharing. So here are some stats from the Gallup poll from 2022. Do note that the new Gallup, same topic, they do surveys frequently. Mid-2023, they're going to do another one. But this is from 2022, and this is some of the stats that they found out. 19%. Of leaders in America are miserable. 19% are miserable. Only 21% are engaged. 33% are thriving in their overall well-being, which is pretty good. And 7 trillion is lost in productivity worldwide. Like, to me, they're staggering numbers. So my guest today is Janine Thompson, and we're going to really dig in and explore how this is impacting productivity. And for me, right, it's always about the results, right? What's the ROI on time, money, et cetera. Well, Janine is a transformational coach, speaker, and author whose breadth of knowledge and experience spans multiple disciplines and professional expressions, from clinical psychotherapy to global business to advancing spiritual growth. She shares her journey with how others can reach their full potential in her first book, 911 for Your Soul. Janine is also a highly successful former Fortune 50 executive. Say that three times fast. And Janine has led diverse human resource teams across the globe, delivered keynotes to large audiences, and has helped navigate the way towards profitability while empowering personal and professional growth. So please help me welcome Janine back to the show for our second voyage, right, Janine?
Yes, indeed. And I am delighted to be with you again, Connie.
Yeah. And I will post in the show notes our last show and the link to that. Worth going back, a little bit different topic than what we're discussing today, but again, very transformational. And I think you'll enjoy it. So I'll make it easy. Just put it in the show notes so you guys can access that, you know, easy peasy. All right. So Janine, let's talk about what is the untapped potential that you've seen for leaders that are available to leaders out there?
Yeah. So listen, this untapped potential is actually a limitless well of infinite intelligence, wisdom, access to answers on any problems you may be grappling with. And you can unleash what I call latent capabilities and capacities that maybe you don't even consciously know you have right now. So all of that is actually alive and well within every single one of your listeners right now. It's just that we've never been taught that. We have never been taught that in how we understood potential, that we actually are like a miniature universe and have access to all this crazy big information.
So this untapped potential, is there a reason that we don't know how to tap it? Like, is it through just through lessons, through our career, through our parents? Is it society? Where does that an inability maybe to understand and tap into that intuitively? Do you know what I mean?
I do indeed. So I think it's a couple of things. One, I've got this philosophy called the beauty of the and. And in that fusion, there's science and there's soul. There is the visible, which is known. It's visible to our five senses. It's the proven best practices. And then there's this invisible intelligence I just referenced. And all of us were indoctrinated, or most of us, I would venture to guess, in learning and integrating the proven best practices. Let's go learn the SOP or the best practices for high performance. Let's learn it on even health or nutrition or exercise. Like, we've been so indoctrinated to the proven, to the known, to what we with our five senses can wrap our head around. I know for myself, nobody ever sat me down and said, you know, Janine, didn't you know that you have access to limitless intelligence and wisdom, and that you even have skills you didn't even know you had? Like, nobody teaches us that. I didn't learn that in graduate school, right? We learned the proven and the visible. Sometimes religion will reference like the kingdom of God within, but we actually never said to him, you are powerful beyond measure. It resides within you today for you to access. So I think both culturally, from religion, from our families, from the school, we've just been indoctrinated into the known.
And I think, Janine, it goes to that. I could see it. I could feel it, right? All those senses. So it has to be real. You're talking about, it can't be real because I can't touch it. I can't see it, right? I can't
prove it. Give me the logic. We feel safer as human beings when we go, I need to make a decision. Oh, I've got facts on this. I got facts on this. I got facts on this. So probability is high. So my boss will be happier. I'll hit the result, you know, more assuredly. So there's no doubt that that's just how we've been indoctrinated. And the best part of the news is actually the science has evolved to help us now venture into the unknown. So when you're ready, maybe we can do a little dance on what's shifted from a science and soul perspective that might bring your leaders maybe some more ease with this whole idea that maybe there is more potential I'm leaving on the table every day.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Did you watch the Ted Lasso? Do you watch Ted Lasso? It's on.
I love it. In fact, as you say that, as synchronicity would have it, last night I watched the very last episode. I loved it. I've sent it to my leaders. I think it's a good show in leadership, and I just personally enjoyed it as well.
But it talks to, he's so intuitive with kindness. Yes. That yes. He doesn't know how to coach any other way. And even come in culture, he didn't even know the game, right? He came from America, not knowing. If anybody who didn't watch, you have to watch the Ted Lasso series. There is so many lessons to be learned, as well as it's enjoyable. And the characters are funny and you'll laugh out loud and you'll cry. I mean, he hits all the emotions, but his level of emotional intelligence, and he creates this ridiculously powerful winning team coming from nothing, you know, for however many years that they were in existence. And then he brings them to these championship kind of layers of play through that intuitive, that kindness, that leadership skill, where he empowers the team. And it's not about him. It's always about the team. So that's kind of what we're talking about. I think based on what you were saying, immediately Ted Lasso popped into my head. Yes. So now let's talk about, how does the science and soul, how does it come into play? So from an execution standpoint, right? So let's make it tangible for everybody listening.
All right, let's do that. And before I go to tangible, I just want to give them a little bit of backdrop.
Yes, please.
So one of the things that we understand in terms of how even the science side has evolved is that there's now evidence neurological evidence of what they call a three-factor neural network, adaptive neural networks. But the simple way to understand that is we've got three brains. We have got the head brain, which we're all aware of, and we've been told, use your big brain, think your way through, figure it out. We've got a heart brain, and the heart brain, per science, has the ability to retain short and long-term memory. It has neuroplasticity, meaning we can develop new neural pathways. And then the gut brain, which is the I sense brain. So head is I think, analytics, heart is I feel, gut is I sense, safety, intuition, etc. And so the interesting thing, Connie, is this isn't new. The first gut brain was written in 1907. Isn't that crazy? By Byron Robinson. And so it's not new information, but it's new to the public. And we got to figure out, and leaders I know have felt all three of their brains every single day. Absolutely. You might have been sitting in a meeting and you had a gut instinct. The room was talking about a solution pathway, and all of a sudden you had this great idea. You sensed it, just showed up. Maybe you had a shower moment that morning in the shower, you came across it and it felt right. It's like, yeah, I think this can be a game changer for us. But then you get to the meeting that morning and the whole room says, nope, we should go this way. The data says this, the best practices says this, or our history says this. So a leader shuts down the other two brains because we're used to in business making the highest percentage bet based on facts or logic. So that's one way where we got to start going, oh gosh, let's just tune into our three brains and pay attention. And the reason why that's important is it's the opposite of what we learned. We've always been taught start with your brain first. Even data now says that information flows up, gut, heart, head. 70 to 80% of our three brain intelligence flows up. We've never believed that. In fact, we've made fun of the heart being too soft. We had no idea it was an adapted network that could learn and process information. And that, in fact, 70 to 80% of the information was going up. So that's super, super cool on the science side. And I'll give you some tangible science practices in a minute. But I want to couple that now with the soul side. So science, three brains. Heart is also equally nuanced. We have three hearts. Now, just like the brain, where we have a physical organ, which is your head brain, there are conscious dimensions, the gut and the heart brain, right? There also, there's a consciousness, or a better way to explain that is the head brain is a physical organ. Mind is consciousness, for example.
Sure.
So when we go to the three hearts, you got the physical pump organ, which we're all familiar with and hopefully paying attention to from a health standpoint and et cetera. We've got the emotional heart, and we all know that one, that feeling affective range where, you know, we've been in great love or had a seriously delicious moment in our life, and it was so enjoyable. We've also had crushing moments where it felt like our heart was going to be broken in two. Yeah. But one more layer down. So if your listeners think about it like stackable dolls, we pull off the physical layer, go down the emotional layer. And the very last layer of our heart, the subtle energy layer, is called the spiritual heart. It's what the mystics and the scholars said was this cosmic heart that had access to a universe of intelligence, not just we knew what we knew from our parents or education.
Right.
That's where we get into this well, this reservoir of untapped potential. Now, I want to pause for just a half a second. If your leaders are going, oh my gosh, I don't like the word soul. Like that just doesn't work for me, or it's not a part of my understanding. here's what I would say. Aristotle had this concept called entelechy. It's the entelechy of an acorn seed to become an oak tree. It's the entelechy of a caterpillar to become a butterfly. Nature never gets confused. An entelechy is your seed of potential. In nature, a caterpillar never becomes a cat, ever. An acorn seed never becomes a palm tree. So the reason why this matters to your leaders is in this moment they're listening to this podcast, there is somewhere inside of them, their inner genius. So you can call it soul or inner genius or entelechy that already knows the problem you're trying to solve, that already knows what's going to make you feel fulfilled in life, right? So those are kind of just how I use the science and soul. I'm a data nerd and I am very dialed in and intuitive, and I use the and.
It's interesting because I think that life is life, right? And what, as you were speaking, what happened to pop into my head, you think of these Olympic athletes and they have these, the one running the one minute yes. mile or whatever it is that they beat. But then somebody beats that top layer was. And now all of a sudden, 10 people after that beat it because yeah. that limiting belief or that ceiling that we placed on self is now removed. So the science is like, well, wait a minute. You told me that was the only human that could run the mile yeah. that fast. Now all of a sudden 10 more people did it. So it's not a factual fact anymore.
It's right? not facts iterate. That's and you know what? We're so interesting as humans. I love us beautiful and messy humans because we want to listen to the data when we want it to work for us. And
that's
think
right.
these are the facts. We want our facts to evolve. Like in technology, we're really happy we don't have Walkmans anymore and it's come all the way to the iPhone. We love it when it fits with what we can wrap our head around.
Absolutely.
But when somebody like me comes to the table and says, oh, but you have access to the universe within and beyond you, science has evolved. You don't have one brain. You got three brains and we got three hearts. Then people start going, that's too much for me. So we're very interesting in what we're willing to take a look at. But I think when we get through this, people are going to go, I'm in. Like I'm at least willing to test and try and explore. And that's all I want people for.
And that's, yes, we should experiment. It's funny, as you were just saying that too, I've had many readings, angel readings, you know, yeah. you've had these experts out there that just yeah. see things that I don't.
Yes.
Anyway, this one friend of mine, she's in Canada, Deanne Rudreau, she's brilliant. And she does the Akashic readings for our Akashic yeah. records. And she actually, yeah. I took a class with her to do it for myself, really for yeah. my business. But I crack up because the first time she didn't know me from Adam, and the first time, which I know this, my angels, guides, whatever you want to yeah. call them, they tease me because I have a good sense of humor. They too have a good sense of humor.
Yes.
And she said, oh, your angels, guides, whatever. She's there, crack it up. And I, that makes sense. Why? And she says, because they're saying you feel, right? Like you're saying the intuition, gut, yeah. whatever, the heart, you feel it coming in. You go, yeah. And then it hits you about halfway. For those not watching, I'm putting my hand like by my nose, right? Yes. Halfway through my brain, it gets there. And then the ego, the science brain, the logic yes. brain goes, oh no, that's not going to work. And I push it right back out.
That's what happens in the three brains all the time. That's why I gave that examples. Leaders have intuitive thoughts all the time. But they don't always have, honestly, the courage in a meeting when everybody else says we're going left and it's this is the way to solve it, to say, hey, I got this gut about this. You know, I got this gut feeling we should experiment with this because here's where I see us being able to go. So we've got to learn how to honor that. And we know very famous leaders who did. Sarah Blakely. It's a great story about her. I think I might get the numbers mixed up a little bit, but she either lives 4 or 6 minutes away from her office, but she would take time every morning to just wander. And in that wandering, was when some of her best thoughts arrived, i.e. Spanx, which is now an incredibly successful business. We heard that from the CEO of Walt Disney. So a lot of the leaders who are willing to do some of the techniques I'm about to share have experienced great success. So we've got predecessors in front of us who have figured out the science and soul. So now it's our turn.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So now here's my next question. So you're also a certified high performance coach, right? So it's not like, you know, you have credentials, woman. You have a credentials. Yeah. Also, you, like I mentioned in my intro, when I read your bio, you're a former, former Fortune 50 executive. So what are some of the best practices from the science side that can help our leaders maximize their potential and, of course, effectiveness with their teams?
Gotcha. So thank you for that, because I think it's an important piece of information. I am grounded in both sides of the world.
Yes, yes.
The you matter have world.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So if we take a look at the data, out of 100 variables studied by the High Performance Institute, which is where I certified my coaching practice with, the number one habit out of 100, when they studied the world's highest performers, the top 15% in the entire world, the number one habit was clarity. And what they said is these leaders ask better questions. They are constantly seeking clarity. What does excellence look like here? What are we trying to accomplish and why? Who should I be? Like, who do I need to be in this next meeting, on this next sales call, in this next event? Who do I need to be in order to get the highest outcome? What do I need to know? This is what I know. Spend some time in quiet. What do I need to know? And lastly, how can I serve? And these might sound simple. What does excellence look like? Who do I need to be? What do I need to know? And how can I serve? That one actually is a game changer. Very few leaders, when they first come to me, say, Janine, I start my morning out with these four questions when I look at my calendar as to each hour of meetings in the day ahead. Instead, they wake up and they look at their phone first thing. They're already back on their heels. They respond to other people's agendas. I'm going to answer these emails. As opposed to sitting back, creating some space, going, what matters to me today? Who do I need to hear back from? Who do I need to reach out to? My agenda first. Answer these questions and then go do a scan of email. Okay. So number one habit, it's clarity. Number two, productivity. The world's highest performers focus 60% of their week on the needle movers of their role and business. 60% of the week is focused on the needle movers. So the very first thing that they do is identify what, take an inventory. What are the needle movers in my business? Most often when I look at a business leader's calendar, once we discern what the needle movers are, I'll say, show me your calendar. They don't map up. They are in hour after hour after hour of meetings. Yes. They work on the needle movers after the day and then they're spent, right? Yes. So first of all, identify the needle movers, put them into like categories. So I'll use myself. I know this won't be for your audience, but they can make the extrapolation. My needle movers are developing speeches, writing, because I'm an award-winning author, and coaching sessions. So I will say for writing, you identify some categories. So for me, one thing is just literal writing hours. And then you do what they call a blocked time strategy. Mm-hmm. Go in, but you only focus on one thing. See, what most leaders do is they block a miscellaneous time. And what I tell people is we usually need three email blocks of 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then whatever, like I will block 4 hours to do one-on-ones, maybe another half a day to do 4 hours of podcasts. They're a like activity. Most leaders butterfly. They're looking at their phone all day long.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I got to get this email out. Oh, I got to make this call. Oh, I got to do this. When I partner with leaders and they actually do a blocked time strategy, you stay one activity zone focus. They come back and they're like, what? Like, I can see why we can get 30% more productivity. Yeah. And then they just keep at it.
Yeah. Well, people say they can multitask. It's nonsense. When you're multitasking, you're watering down the results of everything you're doing. It's you have
to suboptimize. It's a story we tell ourselves. Yeah. And frankly, it's not true. And here's another thing with productivity. It is very important how you start the day and end the day. Now, listen. Morning routines, evening routines are not new information.
Right.
Here's the deal. We lose an hour of productivity when the first thing we do is look at our phone. We are back on our heels. And Brandon Burchard, founder of the High Performance Institute, will say that it's email is somebody else's agenda.
Yes.
So I want leaders to come up first, just create a space. And I don't care if that space is 2 to 3 minutes while you have a cup of coffee. Breathe. Then do a quick scan of what is vital for you to pull over the line today.
Yeah.
Who is vital you pop an email out to? I need X, Y, and Z. Are you waiting on information? What's vital? Start with your strategic agenda.
Yeah.
Most never do that. Okay.
We're in response mode, I think.
Yeah,
we're responding versus proactively controlling it.
Reacting. We're always like, what's the next fire drill? And one of the blocked activities, email's always got to be a blocked activity, but what I call airtime, you can put whatever label you need. You need airtime to get out of your head. You need airtime, a dedicated time where you can have an aerial view of the heck's happening in my business, in my role. And most people actually have very little strategic airtime.
Yeah. And you know what's funny too, Janine? It's kind of simple to do. If you have a doctor's appointment, you put it in your calendar, you go to the doctor, right?
That's exactly right.
So if you schedule in that kind of zoom out perspective, you'll do it because it's in your schedule. So, but here's the thing, what people do is they put it in their schedule, but then they give it up.
Well, and that's the thing. That's where that distraction is going to get in the way of your effectiveness and efficiency. We're talking about discipline that improves not only access to more potential, more effectiveness, better quality relationships, and it's a whole lot more efficient. So that is absolutely vital. With that other best practice is every Sunday night in the Institute, we do what's called a Sunday night review. So we take a scan ahead. We look at our meetings. Which meetings can you cancel entirely?
Mm.
Which meetings can you decrease by 50%? And you call the agenda owner and say, hey, I'm double booked. I can come from 10 to 10:30. If there's things you need me to cover, I'll be there during this time. With their own team, they take 60-minute meetings and they bring them to 45 or they bring them to 30. Yes. See, we'll use whatever time allotment, but when I start telling people, start canceling meetings, reclaim your agenda. And a lot of times they'll say, Janine, you know, I didn't set this meeting, even at high levels in the organization. You know, somebody else said that. I'm like, yep. And they all understand everybody's double and sometimes triple booked. And so if you say you're coming to a portion of the meeting, you know what happens? The meeting leader starts to get tighter. What do I need to get done? What specifically are the questions I need their approval on, or I need their point of view on? The other people get sharper. Meeting leaders get a sharper. They have an agenda and they make it tighter. So we can decrease meeting time.
Yeah. Okay? Clarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. So I have one more quick question. That's okay. This is I'm going to post the other show too. This is vastly different from the other show. So I do recommend the listeners go back and listen to both because I think they'll get nuances from both. But let's talk about the other side, right? Which is the more of the soul side of things.
Yeah.
How can, just real quick, what are some quick strategies? Because that was brilliant. The blocking, the scheduling, oh my God, life-changing recommendations. Okay. What about now that soul? So I want people to weave them both in if they can. Yep.
So here's the how the and comes in. I just said you decrease the meeting time, and every single one of you can do that. Secondly, in creating the conditions to kind of tune in, soften the busy brain, move to heart and gut. And honestly, breath, as silly as it sounds, is your most powerful, potent vehicle. 2 minutes a day. Hand on heart, and just get used to shifting from my head brain to my heart and my gut brain, and just breathe in through your nose, hold out through your mouth. Now just practice that for a couple of minutes each day. And eventually if your busy brain kicks in, I just want you to say noted. Because if you're like me, I'm like, lady, you have no idea how busy this brain is when I first started learning. But I made a commitment to have the discipline so I could have greater freedom. And so I did my 2 minutes a day. You can also access stillness in this wisdom center in nature. Go out and watch the sunset. Yes. Because in awe and wonder, we've softened or lost the busy mind. When we lose the busy mind, we can hear and we can tap into expanded intelligence. A freeing run can do that. My leaders tell me sometimes they're like, it's a freeing run. And we'll probably have to get into this next time, but there's a way to call on the invisible helpers. You could have a round table and invite key mentors, dead or alive, and just in your heart, imagine asking them a question and just sit and listen. And it's amazing when we call on the invisible, even if you don't believe it, but you say, I'll give it an honest go. I'm going to be open enough. I'll give it a go. It's incredible what intuitive guidance and creative downloads you might receive. So let's start with stillness, but nature's huge. If you're stressed, go out on a walk, and pretty soon if you see the creatures dancing and the wind and you just connect with the earth, it's amazing what happens. Go outside at night, lay on the grass and sky gaze. In the middle of that wonderment, oftentimes things drop in. So we've got to rework how we work, not back to back, space for yourself. And by the way, teach your employees this, because there is a whole pool of collective intelligence of your team members, and engagement will go up then, because we know that they want to be seen, they want to be heard, they want to feel connected to the mission and the purpose of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you invite them into the solve, instead of regurgitating information we've talked about every single week in these same meetings, decrease the meetings and say, hey, go get outside, paint, run, lift weights, breathe, like whatever you do, you, but come back with your best creative thinking and let's capitalize on that.
And another thing too, Janine, just my last take on that, as I was listening, if we ask our employees, like we have a project coming up, you know, say to the team, listen, I really want your input, but don't go out and do research. I want you to literally sit quietly, whatever that is for you. If you meditate, go for a run, take your dog for a walk, whatever it is, but really for the next week, contemplate this project, what do you think? And just come back and we're going to have a meeting and an open discussion, right? What? So you can't say tomorrow we're going to have a meeting. I want you to open your mind. And but give people that opportunity to kind of percolate a little bit on what the objective is, and let them, because especially if they're in the trenches doing the work, they're going to see things that they know so much better.
They know better than us, but make mistakes. They're inspired. And if we just very quickly touch on the 2023 Gallup Global Workforce Info. Yes. I got just a tiny sneak preview to it yesterday. The full results come out June 13th.
Cool.
But two things they said that were at the heart of engagement declining. Mm-hmm. Number one is a lack of clarity of expectations. Yes. So leaders take this away. And I know some of you are rolling your eyes going, yeah, I know it. And I'm going to look at you and say, wonderful. Then let's do it. Yeah. What are we on the hook for? What is the vision of good? Sure. Not just performance feedback that we know doesn't work once a year. How can you really bring that clarity of expectations to life every week? The second major issue was a lack of feeling connected to the mission and purpose of the organization. So whatever they're doing, make ties back to when you did this, it allowed this, which allowed this, then all of a sudden they feel valued.
Yeah.
And Jim, which was one of the co-authors of the new Gallup book called Culture Shock that just came out and is a big part of this global workforce report of 2023 coming out, said one of the number one things leaders can do to change engagement is have one meaningful engagement conversation, one meaningful conversation with each direct report once a week.
I love it. It's funny when I do whatever training with my clients, a non-negotiable for me is you have to have a coaching protocol. I could teach it if you have someone else doing it, but it has to be monthly, at least month. You should be coaching. I call it coaching on the fly every week, every day. Really, you're having some conversation. But every employee that reports to you deserves that one-on-one time. And we're talking anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes. That's all you have to do. But every one of your employees deserves that one-on-one time with you as a leader to create that clarity, to help them find their zone of genius. What part are they playing in this group dynamic and the objectives at hand? You have to review that. You can't do that once a year. People go, oh, what about quarterly? We don't have time to do it monthly. You have to do it monthly, and you really have to touch at least weekly with every employee, but that once a month to commit to that 30 minutes. Come on, you could do that. Easy peasy.
Yeah, they can do that. And what I was struck by, I agree with all of that, that like that should be price of admission for good leadership, right?
That's right. Right.
But in this, what he spoke to, this one meaningful conversation a week, that's even different than, you know, kind of, are we red, yellow, and green on these metrics? That one meaningful conversation might be what matters to them right now, dialing into kind of their human condition and knowing that they're cared about, and you're, you know, grooming them, shaping them, helping them in the organization. It's like, I'll be curious to say how they define meaningful, but I at least wanted to plant that seed because the language was very deliberate and they didn't say one performance conversation a week, right? Which most of us might focus on. They said one meaningful conversation.
That's right.
Let's learn more about that.
But I like that word. Yeah, I like that word. More to come with the Gallup.
Yes.
Love it. Thank you so much for sharing. And I love the science and the soul. I think it's relevant. I think more and more people are opening up to the concepts of this and are understanding it because they're giving the space to allow those divine downloads and those feelings and emotional intelligence that comes out and makes us better leaders. So I loved today's conversation, Janine. Thank you so much. Everyone, if you have a question specific to this topic or whatever, two things I'm going to give you. The website, which is JanineThompson.net. So check it out. A lot of cool things there. And then if you have a question, reach out to Janine directly. It's Janine@JanineThompson.net. Again, I will put that in the show notes. You do have a free gift for the leaders, which I will put the link in the show notes. But can you tell everybody what that is before we end the show?
Sure. It's a 15-minute practice called What Makes My Soul Light Up. Now, listen, back when I was an executive, I might have said, seriously, I do not have time for this, right? It's a 15-minute, powerful, fun practice where you're literally going to capture for 15 minutes nonstop. What are some experiences in your life that you instantaneously remember that created great joy, fun, that were meaningful? And it becomes a little bit of mind blowing when you look back and go, oh my gosh, I remember that moment of that speech or this introduction or this whatever. many leaders have said to me, they've kind of sold their soul to their company and their job. And this simple practice, because I give you a bunch of questions to process it and what to do next, this simple practice helped them get a tiny bit more alignment going, oh my gosh, I got to get these things back into my life so I can have a life I love in total, not just a job I want to excel at, but success actually means I want my family or friend life to work, my personal life to work. So this practice is wildly powerful. Have fun. And then after your words, use your block strategy and start intentionally blocking in time for life.
Yeah.
Time for life.
Yeah. We forget that piece, right?
I know. So, and that's where the joy is. And actually, the more joy we have, the higher productivity, fun, engagement, loyalty we have. It's a silly thing. We block joy because we got to get the task done.
Yeah.
Where we actually sit the task aside, we actually come back more creative, more effective. Yeah. And voila, it's done.
So counterintuitive, but it works. And we all know it because we've all experienced it, right? Yes. When we're vibrating at that higher level, it's like, I'm the Midas woman, right?
It just falls into place.
It falls into place.
I spent 6 hours trying to think about that in 3 minutes in the shower. It's like, aha, I got
exactly. it. And we've all had those aha moments. I love it. Janine, thank you. I always enjoy our time and our conversations. I think it's tangible information that's usable immediately. And for me, that's what I really do want to share always with my listeners. So thank you so much for being on and sharing your zone of genius with everyone. And of course, I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter where you are on your journey of change. I do hope my guests and I provide some form of information or execution, right? Action steps that you can apply immediately after listening to the show. And, and my hope is always that that will be life-changing and transformational for you on the back end. So again, take some of the tips, all of the tips that Janine shared today and apply them in your life. Report back. Let me know, man, how is it going for you? It matters. You matter. And I love that you tune in weekly. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.com. I truly wish you an inspired week. Please do something different and allow the change to progress, to bring you to that next level of you fill in the blank, whatever that means to you. I love you all. I'll see you all next week. Have a great one. Do something that can change your life and probably the world around you. I love you. Have a great one. Thanks a million.